Don Hendricks, one of my seminary professors, tells the story of a young woman he met at a conference. He said the woman was 22 years old. She was quiet, petite. The young woman had no friends attending the conference. She didn't know anyone there, but she kept coming back to each session. On the third day, she approached Dr. Hendricks during one of the breaks, and she indicated to him that she wanted to talk with him. So they decided to take a walk around the conference center during the brief afternoon break. As they walked, the young woman told Dr. Hendricks about her life. As an 18-year-old, she went off to college, but in the middle of the first semester, she quit school and she went back home. She found a job. She moved into an apartment with a friend, but soon she left and moved back home once again with her family. The next fall, she started school again. She completed one semester this time, but once again, she came back home to live with her parents. But now she was feeling again that tug to get away. But once again, the more powerful feeling in her life was keeping her at home. "Why can't I leave?" she asked Dr. Hendricks as they walked around the conference center. "Why can't I leave home?" They talked and they prayed and they walked. And as they made their way around the conference center, Dr. Hendricks said this young woman found her own answer. In her own words, she said, "You know, I think I've just learned that I'm waiting to hear my father say that he loves me. He has never said it. And I need to hear those words before I leave home." Dr. Hendricks, in reflecting on this experience, says this: "That, my friends, is the power of blessing." This morning in our text, we also see the power of blessing. We read about Jacob and Esau, two brothers with vastly different experiences of life. And this morning, as we think about their experience and we think about this text with their father Isaac and their mother Rebecca, then this morning we ask, what might we learn from Jacob and Esau that speaks to the times of transition and change in our own lives and in the lives of our family? It is clear from the outset here that this family is focused on the power of blessing. The spoken word of blessing was a crucial, significant moment within family life. And our text today demonstrates the power that those words of blessing can have for one who receives them. What someone says, the words of a parent, the words of a coworker, a friend, or whomever is so important, these words can take on a life of their own, and speaking words of encouragement and words of hope become a transforming act in our lives. They may be seemingly small and insignificant, but they are ultimately extremely powerful. So let's take a closer look at this text. It's interesting here that as we begin reading their story and their encounter, we don't just jump right into the blessing. Actually, we begin with what we would call a time of making preparation for the blessing. In the first four verses, we learn that Isaac himself is preparing himself to give the blessing. He calls Esau in and he says, "I don't know when, but I know I'm about to die. And I want you to go and find some game and prepare a meal for me and bring it in so that I can give you words of blessing." Why? He needs time himself to prepare to give these words of blessing. But isn't it also interesting that the one receiving the blessing also needs time of preparation? In other words, some work and effort were required on the part of Esau, the one who would be receiving the blessing. Isaac told Esau to go out, hunt for some game, to bring it back, to prepare a meal for him. In other words, this food offering was an important part of the ritual. And the one who was being blessed was responsible for work and effort in order to receive that blessing. Basically, for both parties, the person speaking and the person listening or receiving, the blessing was significant enough that it required preparation. Well, the next section of this story is fairly long. We might call it more preparation or cooking and sowing in verses 5 through 27. And in this section, Rebecca, the mother, the wife, she becomes the main actor here, urging her favorite son, Jacob, to steal the rightful birthright, the rightful blessing of Esau, her other son, in a most deceitful way. At first, Jacob was very skeptical. He wasn't sure about what his mother was saying. But notice, he's not skeptical about the morality or the ethics involved. In other words, he doesn't question whether it's right or wrong what his mother is asking him to do. No, instead, he's wondering whether or not it will actually work. He said, "Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man of smooth skin," in verse 11. He knew that if his father recognized him as Jacob, then his father would curse him instead of blessing him. We might even say his father would bless him out instead of blessing him. So Jacob is hesitant. He's hesitant about getting caught. But Rebecca is clever. She made Isaac's favorite dish. She helped to disguise Jacob's smooth arms and his neck with animal hair. She even dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes that she had in the house. And she even went so far as to say to Jacob, "Listen, if you do get caught, let the curse be on me. Just do what I'm saying." Well, when Jacob entered his father's place, there is some initial conversation where Jacob claims to be Esau. And then Isaac says to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son," verse 26. With the kiss, they are then close enough for Isaac to smell the clothes. Isaac wanted to make sure this was Esau. But we see here that this blessing, it also involves close, intimate contact between the two people. The implication here is that through touch, through physical contact, the souls or the spirits of these two people would communicate with each other. All the senses are used here: sound, touch, taste, and smell. And isn't it interesting? Isaac seems to trust seeing and hearing much less than touching and smelling. In verse 27, the word smell appears three times. It seems to be the final indicator of the proof of identity in Isaac's mind. Well, then finally, we get to the actual spoken blessing in verse 27. Thinking he was talking to Esau, Isaac affirms him by describing him as a field the Lord has blessed. He uses this image and provides a picture of a promising future of fertility and success and power. The blessed son would live with great competence and ability. God would renew the land with fresh crops each year. He would be active in the life of the blessed child. It was indeed a promising, bright blessing. You may have even noticed that several times throughout this conversation, Isaac seems to doubt still that he is speaking to Esau. In fact, in verse 24, Isaac directly questions his son, "Are you really my son, Esau?" But despite the ambiguity, Isaac continues the ritual. In verses 18 through 27, Isaac repeats the phrase, "my son," seven times. Well, then we come to the end of the blessing and the conversation with Esau. Though Genesis does not give us a lot of detail, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 calls Esau a, quote, profane person, one who treated the highest potentials in life as though they did not matter. But here, in the verses that follow where we stopped reading in verse 33, Esau cries out to his father, begging his father for his own blessing. He pours out his heart saying, have you only one blessing? Do you only have one blessing to give? Don't you have words of blessing and encouragement and hope for me? You see, the blessing was so important. Why? Why was this blessing so critical? Why was it so important, this blessing so critical, that Jacob would go to the extent of deceit that he does in order to get it, and Esau would cry out desperately knowing that he had missed it? Why was this blessing so important? Well, this morning, here's an important truth. No one wants to go through life without a blessing. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, you don't remember any other details of this story, remember this: no one wants to go through life without receiving a blessing. Everyone wants special words of hope and encouragement. Everyone wants some kind of ritual. Everyone needs some kind of gesture that connects him or her to their past and propels them into a promising future. Remember the young woman that I told you about with Dr. Hendricks at the beginning of this sermon. We all need blessings. Blessings end some very important things in our lives. And blessings also introduce us to new beginnings. But without blessings, it is hard to function in this world. Without blessings, we miss valuable lessons and we miss out on the confidence that helps us to fully engage in the present and the future. And blessings are especially needed during times of change and transition. Maybe you remember what happens after our text for this morning, what results from this blessing. At the end of chapter 27, Rebekah cautions Jacob, and she says to him, your father has discovered what has happened. Flee at once. He received the blessing, but Jacob now must leave home. He was blessed, but now he is running for his life in fear. Jacob ends up as a blessed fugitive who was forced to leave home and now find his own way in life. This morning, we are reminded that leaving home is a major transition in life. Everyone has his or her own way in which they leave home. Some, like Jacob, sneak away because of brokenness and strife. Others leave joyfully with much love and support from family and friends. Some must be kicked out of the nest, even though they claim they are not ready to fly on their own. Others must cut their own apron strings that are tied all too tightly around them, holding them as captives, not being able to fly themselves. Everyone leaves home in his or her own way. But let us remember this morning. It is not only the young who leave home. All of life is a journey. And we often have many experiences throughout our lifetimes of leaving home. Many older people find themselves needing to leave a place that has been home for a number of years, decades even. And they're forced to go to a new place that doesn't quite feel the same. In all of these situations, words of blessing are so important. In Genesis chapter 12, we read earlier in our worship service today, Abram, 75 years old, is called by God to do what? To leave home. He's called to go. Where? He's not certain. God simply says, leave your home at 75 years of age. And go to the place where I will show you. God's people are always leaving a place called home to journey into the unknown. And words of blessing are so important. As we read Genesis chapter 12 earlier, I noted the word bless or blessing appears five times in just those few verses about a 75-year-old man leaving home. Blessings and transitions and change always need to go together. Transitions in life often create an experience of crisis. Many changes do not occur without some sense of grief and sadness on our part. And sometimes it's difficult for families to know how to deal with this change. And therefore, we don't know how to take steps to grieve our endings or to celebrate our new beginnings. But listen, part of being family, part of being church family, part of being friends is learning together how to grieve the loss of something special and dear, and also how to celebrate new beginnings that lead us to a different path. Words of blessing are a gift in times of change and transition. It's been almost 15 years ago now, but I remember the experience like it was yesterday. I've shared with some of you before that my mother died at a relatively young age, 63 years old. My father, who was a little more than a year older than my mother, was approaching retirement at the time of her death. So what happened was, in just a matter of a few short months, my father buried his wife, retired from a 45-year career in full-time ministry, and moved away from a church and a community who had loved him and cared for him and my mother during a most difficult time of illness and death. Part of our challenge as a family was learning how to grieve together. Part of our challenge as a family was learning words of blessing to say goodbye. But it was also learning how to say words of blessing for new beginnings for my father. How do you say goodbye to a home where your mother, your wife, has died? How do you bless new beginnings that hold anxiety and fear, but also contain excitement and anticipation? One of the lessons I learned during this very intense time of life was the incredible power of blessing. My brothers and I were able to share words of blessing with my mother before she died. It was a powerful experience. But just a few weeks later, we were able to share words of blessings with my father for a new phase of his journey. Both occasions were filled with emotions, but the power of blessing was incredible. It was intense. It was momentous. It was meaningful. You see, whether the transition is leaving home as a young person or a senior adult, whether the transition is losing a dear companion on life's journey or experiencing another loss, we need ways to bless our times of change and transition. You know, maybe when you're going through those times, you don't know what to say. Maybe there are no words that seem adequate to capture the emotions of the moment that you are experiencing, the change, the transition that you're going through. In these times, when you can't seem to find the words, but you know something has to be done, maybe it's enough, just to take the hand of your loved one and to simply say, "Thank you, God, for the blessing of this part of my journey. My heart is overwhelmed and I don't know what else to say, but I am thankful that you are with me. I am grateful for your presence in this time of change." There are so many transitions in this life. There are so many changes. But leaving home begs for words of blessing. Sometimes parents ask their grown children, "When are you coming home?" And sometimes the young adult will respond, but I am home. Leaving and letting go involves places we call home, pilgrimages and journeys that are with us in this place we call home on earth, where home is, making new home, regarding home as our entire earth, and realizing that the world truly is not our home at all. It is in these moments of change and transition that blessings release a power that speaks to the deepest needs of our hearts. Blessings are usually more significant than they are tangible. For blessings work silently in their own way. They're like an arrow that is shot toward a target, thrusting life into the future, calling us to hope and to encouragement. Who do you know that is going through a time of transition or change right now? Maybe it is a family member. Maybe for you, it is a friend. Maybe it's you. Today, we are encouraged to ask, who might you share a word of blessing with this week? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this journey that we call life, we are grateful that you are with us when life is settled and comfortable. And we are particularly grateful that you are with us during times of change and transition. Lord, through all the uncertainties of life, help us to speak words of blessing to ourselves and to each other. Help us to hear your still small voice that calls us ever forward into the future you have planned for each one of us. And Lord, wherever we are, may we find home in your presence of love and mercy and grace. Lead us and guide us, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.